We just bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, again we look to you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. With the help of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to come into your word, Lord, the study of it, whereby that we might learn the things that have been freely given to us of God, and not something, Lord, that lies in the future, but which is ours now, Father. And though we don't see it too clearly, we know that it is absolutely there. It is ours. And one day, in its proper time, it will come into perfect manifestation. So, Father, help us tonight now to calm our hearts and our minds, and especially, Lord, may your Spirit have preeminence over our minds, bringing every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ, putting down all reasonings and setting aside all former understandings, and just stay with what is in your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, these messages have a sort of a title in a series. And the first message was what happened when the Holy Spirit came, but tonight it's more or less what happens when the Holy Spirit comes. Now, in the first message, we saw that the Holy Spirit baptism was responsible for true, tremendous, and irrevocable experiences. And what I mean by that is they are once for all. You do not repeat them any more than Jesus Christ died upon Calvary more than once, or must die regularly for a person's sins. That once-for-all death covered the Old Testament bride and covers the new, and even covers looking forward to the white throne judgment. It is once-for-all. So there are two great things that happened in this once-for-all experience, whereby we receive, as it were, two once-for-all experiences in the one. Now, the first is where the Holy Spirit united us with God, making us one. As it says in 1 Corinthians 6 and 17, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And you notice in there the word is cemented, absolutely joined and cemented. And remember that God says, whatsoever God joins together, let no man put asunder. It's the very same thing you find where it says, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand, for I and my Father are one. And we saw this, of course, very clearly in John 14 and 20, because this is what Jesus said would happen. Now, you cannot deny what Jesus said. And you will notice that this is the most important thing, the primary, basic, major thing that Jesus said. And in the 20th verse, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now, that's exactly what he said. So, therefore, that is exactly what was to happen. That at the day of being baptized with the Holy Ghost, as at the day of Pentecost, that is, he was in the Father, and he said, we were in him, and I in you. It is a complete union. Actually, it is even more than a cementing together, although that is true. It is almost as though two tumblers of water were poured into one pitcher. Now, the next thing is, he united the members of the bride to each other with himself as head or as the husband. And we see this over here in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and beginning at verse 12, for as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And in Galatians we have the same thought, for there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, bond or free, or anything else. In other words, we all becoming a part with him are a part with and of each other, and that cannot be changed. Now, also in John, the 17th chapter, we see that the experience, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, that makes us one with him, makes us one with each other. And he says here, in beginning in 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And now here is you'll notice that here is the plurality of the singular as found in John 14. It's not just an individual now, it's all of them in Christ together forming that body. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that word perfect doesn't only mean a conclusion, it means a finishing the term refers to finishing furniture, a piece of lumber or something. It's not only done as far as the cutting of the pattern is concerned, but it's brought to the finish where nothing more can be done to it. It becomes an absolute as to the quality and the perfection of those qualities. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will thee also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me for the foundation of the world. Now, to get a picture of this, we're going to go back to the time when the Holy Spirit fell. And that, of course, is in the second chapter of the book of Acts, and we'll read a few verses in there, perhaps the first 8. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Notice, all one accord, one place. Now, that's good. That's the way it is in the true bride. She's in one place, which is in Christ Jesus. She's all of one accord because it's one Spirit that's revealing the one Word. And they're all in one place, which is truly going a little further than just being in Christ, although that's the tremendous thing. They will also always be in each age placed, and then they're going to be coming on in their own places in the millennium and so on. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared on them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak their tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they are dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one another, behold, are not all these Galileans which speak? And how hear we every man in our own language when we were born? Now, in the third verse, of course, this is the beginning of the church of the true bride. And the third verse, it says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now, I'm not a Greek student, but understand here that the actual meaning in the Greek goes to the fact that there was one cloud that appeared, because after all, God is one. Moses never saw two pillars of fire. Now, when Brother Branham was on earth here, the people saw a pillar of fire when he got through preaching the church ages, and it formed in fire the actual picture that Brother Branham drew of those ages. And yet he stood up before the people and said, you saw one, but I saw two. He said, you only saw the reflection. It is not given to the individual outside of a prophet to see the pillar of fire any more than is to hear the voice of Almighty God. No man, save a person like Moses, can actually hear the voice of God. Just can't be done. So here we see when the pillar of fire descended, he would not have come as tongues of fire, or like many little ropes of fire, as it were. It was one cloud that descended. And as Brother Branham said, that this actual pillar of fire that he sees is so much like the pillar of fire that was shown in the Ten Commandments. You can get a pretty good idea what it is like. How it would be then, there'd be one cloud, central cloud, and the whirling flame within there then would just break off, as it were, in pieces and come down upon each individual one. And then they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now notice here, one cloud of fire, tongues broke off, and each one was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then as each one was filled, it said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So in the first case, we see the individuals were filled first, and then corporately, or all together, they were all together filled. Now, none were there who were not filled in order to become a part of Him, and a part of, and a part with each other. There wasn't one person who could be apart with God or apart with the bride without being filled with the Holy Ghost. Every single member of the bride, the body, the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ must be full of the Holy Ghost. Now, that's without variance. Now, one cannot be apart then of the spiritual Christ and the physical Christ without this personal baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, you notice what I said there. You cannot be apart of and with the spiritual Christ. That's the actual Holy Ghost Himself, who is God Almighty, one God who is Spirit. And you cannot be a part of the physical Christ, which is his body, which is here upon earth. Now, you can't be a part of him by joining a church, therefore, or by being baptized in water, or by being baptized in the local assembly. Now, you'll find many people literally baptize people into the local assembly. Now, that is absolutely ridiculous. There is no scripture for it. There is nothing to it. It is insanity. There is nothing to it at all that many people believe in. Others are baptized into local doctrinal formulas. They have no baptism at all, but they believe certain things. And some do have a baptism, believing other certain things. And they put you into it by you joining a church or shaking their hand or something like that. So neither can you be in the bride of Christ by some sort of good moral living. It is absolutely a rebirth. You must be born again. Or as the scripture says, you must be born from above. See? Now, we go a little further, beginning the middle of the fourth verse. All filled the Holy Ghost, and began to speak of the tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they are dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they are all amazed and marveled, saying one another, behold, are not all these Galileans which speak? Now, you'll notice here in verses 4b, the middle of verse 4, to verse 7, what we saw in the above scripture, that is, the pillar of fire, God, coming down in that veiled form, letting the people know that he was there. And then those tongues of fire coming off, showing that God was distributing himself or giving of his own life to each individual, bringing them into himself and making them one with him, even as he said they would be. This was it. So what we saw in the above scripture was the vertical. In other words, God dealing from the top down on a person-to-person basis in the vertical, and then what we see in these other verses is on the horizontal, because they were speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the languages to utter. Then you see, as they were down there on the street and the people began coming, and then the Spirit of God took the very words that the Galileans were preaching, turned those words in midair, and they actually heard them prophesying, though it became tongues to the individual hearing. The miracle lay in the hearing, not in the speaking at that time, though there was a miracle in the speaking, because they were speaking under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So now you see from the vertical to the lateral. See, the vertical is God dealing with individuals. Or God first manifests or reveals himself to the individual, and then the members on the horizontal level, that's in the bride, manifest him who came to them in the form of the vertical. That's the whole thing, is to have a bride who manifests him. See, that's why he's got to have a physical body. See? Now, notice, in verses 37 to 41, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what do we do? Then Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now listen, he didn't say, repent every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and at some later date, oh, way down the road, or when you get convenience, or when you're stirred up, or when there's some great revival, I want to tell you some folk, there's a little something down the road if you call the Holy Ghost. That is a lie, my brother, my sister. The reason you repent and get baptized in water is to receive the Holy Ghost. That's what it's all about. See? Now you begin to see why Brother Branham preached under the anointing so hard when he preached the token. And said, Branham Tabernacle, he said, there are many of you here, perhaps most, who have received the Holy Ghost, but I wonder if all of you have. And yet Brother Branham always opened that pool. He never gave an altar call. He gave a water call. The water call is that you will receive the Holy Ghost. And as the prophet said, not parroting, but simply quoting what is true, what all men of all ages have said, if you obey the first two, God is duty bound to answer on the third, because God alone can baptize you with the Holy Ghost. You see, you shall receive the gift. For the promise is unto you Jews, and to your children Jews, and all that are far off Gentile, even as many, both Jew and Gentile, as the Lord our God shall call. Notice, the Lord our God shall call. Now, I'm just going to forget my notes for 1 second and just show you exactly the truth of this statement here by going to Galatians, the 3rd chapter, and beginning, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. One, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, in order that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The ultimate is to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and the ultimate, brother, sister, is what I mean. The ultimate is not the New Jerusalem. No, sir. Mm-mm. The ultimate is not a dedicated life. The ultimate is not a power ministry. The ultimate is joined to God, and in Him is everything. See? How do you get stirred up tonight to believe this? And some of you folk, maybe men meet with men and women with men and start praying like old Bunker Buddy Robinson. God, if you don't give me the Holy Ghost, when you come back here, you're going to find a bag of bones. See? Exactly what it's for. You shall receive the promises unto you. And with many other words, did he testify to you, or save yourself from this untoward, and the word in the Greek is perverted. Save yourself from this perverted bunch. This bunch that doesn't know God. And hasn't got the Holy Spirit. We've got the biggest perversion under high heaven again. We go to the further scripture in 46 and 47. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness in his heart, praising God and having favor with people. And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. Now you see, the point is this. When the Holy Ghost filled those men from the vertical, it began to go out, or he, God, began to go out in the vertical. And the horizontal, I'm sorry, out through the people in order that they would know what was the will of God, which those outside the bride, called to God, would receive the Holy Ghost, receiving their own experience of Almighty God. Now, let's go to Acts, the 8th chapter. And in verse 14, now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent of them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now notice, only isn't good enough. The fellows that play baseball only maybe get, they got only as far as first base, only as far as second base, only as far as third base, unless they get to home base, doesn't count. That's all, that's as far as they got. Then they laid their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Again, also notice in the 13th chapter, 46 to 48. Now there again you see from the vertical to the horizontal. When Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it's necessary the word of God should first be spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I've set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, of the Gentiles, that thou should be for salvation at the end of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now the question is, what was the eternal life? The baptism with the Holy Ghost. Because that's what it's all about. The promise is unto you, Jews, your children Jews, and all that are far off, with the Gentiles who are far off, even as many as the Lord of God shall call, both Jew and Gentile. And when the one group turned it down, then God turned to the other. And ever since then, there have been very, very, very few Jews ever coming in. It's the Gentiles making up that bride. Now we go also to the Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. And I might perhaps have left this for another time to read it, but I'll come back to it. And the 18 to 22nd, now therefore you're no more strange than foreigners, but fellow citizens and with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, notice all the building, every single stone, and at Pentecost, every single individual one had his own private confrontation with God from the vertical experience, wherein God himself came down and gave a part of himself to that individual, starting right in his soul. Now it says, all together, they are framed together, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple. Now what's in the holy temple? God is in his holy temple. So that God is not just in the individual, there is a framework, as it were, a building, a pyramid, a pyramidal structure, which is the temple, and the Holy Spirit's in it. So that the individual heir to God makes the whole bride heir to God. No wonder Brother Branham screamed and hoped for the day when the bride would have one mind. If you can see what one person can do with the Holy Ghost dedicated, what could a group of people do? Well, we've got a church coming up like that, brother, sister. I believe so. And it says you're builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. A man says his church is a spiritual temple. People get up and say their group is, and deny the true baptism with the Holy Ghost, which is repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you can see that's no more the temple of God than nothing. That's why you always give the Spirit the word test. You don't give the word a spirit test. If you people were given a spirit test here, or a test in the sense of what your spirit might be to see if you're a tremendous bunch of people here, well, you'd be pretty dull for a lot of folk. There's not enough speaking in tongues and jumping up and down and prophesying on the floor and hallelujah marches and other things. Forget it. You can have all of that, but if it's not under what the Word says, you know there's a phony spirit there somewhere. You see? Now, a temple. Imagine this, brother, sister, and what I'm trying to do is stir up your pure minds tonight by my constant repetition to get you to see that if you begin to see what God says and believe it, something's going to happen. See? And I started out Sunday morning, went that way Sunday night, and I'm repeating and going this way on purpose tonight to lead you into a place where I know we can be. Now, let's go back to Acts, the first of Acts, and the 8th verse, which, of course, is a great favorite a scripture, and it's perhaps one of the most quoted scriptures there is in the in the Bible, especially for the people to whom it spells out that soul winning is the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. And it says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and uttermost parts of the earth." Now notice that there is an absolute prophetic promise and command here involved as to positively what is there in the baptism with the Holy Ghost when the people receive that tremendous baptism. Now, we can see here that this is not the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost, but the necessity for being filled with the Holy Ghost, especially in the light of what Jesus said. Now, remember, the Word interprets the Word. Now it says, you're going to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, the uttermost parts of the earth. That's just like he said the promise to you Jews and to your children and all those that are far off. Now, we're going to see that the Holy Spirit is is necessary for this fulfillment. So we go to John 17 again, which we read the other day a couple of times. And we look at verses 21 to 23, that they all may be one, as thou Father art in me, and I in thee, they all may be one in us, that the world may believe thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me have given them, that they all may be one even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now notice what he said here in John 17, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. Now that's what he said about the individual baptism with the Holy Ghost. And the true baptism with the Holy Ghost. And especially the last day sealing off has got to bring this to pass. Now Brother Branham mentioned that the writing of the Holy Spirit, his spoken word as original seed, is what we go by. See, now, notice he said here, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And again in verse 23, that the world may believe. Now, that's what we saw over here in Acts 1 and 8. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea. What is it? It's the Holy Spirit in the individual permeating through the bride becoming one. They've got to believe. Something's got to happen. Amen. You say, when's it going to take place? Now, a lot of folks want to put in the resurrection. I'm not going to put in the resurrection. I'm not going to put it anywhere. I'm going to put it right in the Bible. He said, so I believe it. Now, if you're smart, you caught something. If you're half as smart as I think you are, you caught something. Right? I don't need to say anymore. All right. John 14 and 20. That day you shall know I am the Father, you and me, and I and you. And that day is also expressed in this hour, Brother Branham said, so in this day the world is going to know that he was sent. Now you see, I'm going to put that all personally on Brother Branham on the great ministry. Didn't say that. That's just part of it. See, there's something coming. Now, the Son of Man must manifest himself in human flesh in every age. Now, that's a quote that I'm quoting you. You're not going to find it on tape, I don't believe. It doesn't matter to me. I went to Brother Branham and said, Brother Branham, what do you mean? Now, this would be more in private conversation when the terms were used. So what do you mean when you say, the Son of Man manifest in human flesh? He said, Brother Vail, that is the bride in every age. And we see it right here. The Son of Man said, I'm going to come back, the Son of God. And I'm going to fill each individual. And I'm going to fill a church. And when that church individually, corporately, truly filled, the world will know. Because he said, I am going to manifest myself in and through that people. Now, before the end of the week is over, we're going to get into why the church can't function because of the spirit of competition and of the enemy that's come into our ranks. Okay, we've got to let that ride. Just letting you hint because I gave you a hint Sunday morning. The Son of Man must manifest himself in human flesh in every age. That's the bride. Now, with this, we're going to view Ephesians 4, 4 to 16. Now, that's my statement. Talk about the vertical to the horizontal. The vertical is to every single individual, but it's the same Holy Ghost that unites you to Christ, unites you to each other, makes you that body. The one that puts you in the spirit shall put you in the physical, in order that he who is in the spirit might manifest as though he were here physically. See? Now, there's a bride. Okay, Ephesians, the fourth chapter. 4 to 16. There is one body and one spirit. No more. One. Notice there is a unity here. And he doesn't begin talking now in this vein that there's, as he does in 1 Corinthians, there's an arm and a leg and an eye and a tongue and a liver and a kidney and this and that. No. He's bringing out the cohesiveness of a bride, of a body, where one spirit with one mind is manifesting in a group. It's just like a commander general that teaches an army. And he has every one of those soldiers so thoroughly inured and so thoroughly trained that when he speaks, the whole army goes into action. There is one body, there is one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism, there is one God, even Father of all, is above all, and through all, and in you all. Now, if that's it, the way it is then, brother, sister, then every single thing that's said here is through the one Father, God, who is above all, and through all, and in all. Now, that's exactly right what I've been preaching. He's in every single one of us is born again. He is through us all as a corporate group. And he is above all, directing as the head. See? So there is just one. Now, a while ago you're singing, I'm so glad I'm one of them. Which one of them are you? Well, I'm one of them that's one of his'n. See? And you go beyond that, you're wrong. I follow the Tucson faith. I follow the Jeffersonville faith. I follow the Gisborne faith. I follow the Gunther faith. I follow the Vail faith. Hogwash! You haven't got the Holy Ghost then, or something's wrong somewhere. You need to be retrained all over again. Missed the whole point. See? One God! One people! There's only one of everything. There was one Adam, and Eve was in him. Amen. Oh, I like that. One Christ, and one bride in him. See? One. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, it says right here that this may be hard to swallow, but y'all got grace to do it. Wherefore, he said, and he sent it up on high, led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now, notice ascending on high, that one that went up was the one that came down. And he gave unto the church, notice he descended, and he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things with all things, and we are all things. In other words, we might become the literal living word of Almighty God. That's why he came back as the Holy Ghost. Amen. See why I keep on shutting it, Brother Brown has said?
If we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. There's got to be, because there's a God in heaven who wrote a book that was vindicating the prophetic ministry. See? And I want to say like Brother Brent, if I'm not bride, by the grace of God, I won't stand away. I want to stand back there shouting and screaming, hallelujah! That every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess, and I don't want mine to be called into judgment. I want to be willing to scream and praise God who took the vertical and the horizontal, sent the Holy Spirit back to indwell a bride of many members. And when he looks down, he calls her one. Now listen, we better learn to start calling ourselves one like he did. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, teachers, and so on, to, for the purpose of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And notice all those three things are in there, and the word edify means to build up or to get that bride coming in. Now the ministries do it. And in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter through the 14th, positively these are placed in here as ministration by one Spirit. That's why you won't find a dozen preachers at the end time preaching a dozen different things. Unless the bride of Christ has got a fivefold ministry, I can count on three fingers. Oh, that was a good one. And I'm not tough on the people. I'm sure tough on the preachers. I'm one of them. Why? People want to run around and teach, teach, teach. And a lot of them aren't even called for it, knowing the teacher receives the greatest condemnation of any of the fivefold ministry. You think I'd be up here teaching if I wasn't made to preach? I've got to weigh my words and know what I'm saying. I'm going to be called in judgment on everything I say to you people if you believe me. Of course, I'm not giving you a dodge when I say, if your pastor disagrees at any time, you believe him, not me, because he is responsible being here to help you. I am not. Actually, I am more called in here to help him with the ministry. I'm to help you. He's the one that helps you. Listen to him. But I'm responsible just saying for what I teach in case someone catches something. Now listen, to perfect the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying the body of Christ, because they can't come in without these ministries. Can't be done till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now that, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, I believe that refers back over here where Paul is preaching that Spirit comes into the church, that you may know what's of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And that, in other words, it's the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Till you come to that place. Now, and at that time, we come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, there's no more to come in. The Word is all here. The Holy Spirit is all here. The people are all here. And at that time, we are no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now that happens at this time. Many a time I've told the people back home, I said, you no more believe the Bible or nothing. You know, we got some sweet little Pentecostal ladies, God bless their pea-picking hearts. Anybody from Europe or anybody else can write a sweet little letter, and oh my, they just go to pieces over. The guy can be living in adultery or anything else along with the sweet little letter. I am not sweet with that kind of sweetness. Nor do I intend to be. And I said, you don't believe the Bible, I can prove to you. So there's not one of you sitting here that believes that any person will lie in wait to deceive you. You know why? Because they're deceivers. And deceivers, Eve, and I keep preaching all these years, Eve was not raped, she was seduced. Eve was not raped, she was seduced. Yeah. Sweet. This is the day when people lie in wait to deceive. But don't worry, little bride, you got no problems. He'll fool the ones that can be fooled. There ain't no bride going to get fooled. There's a bride at this age that does not fall. A virgin of God's Word. And we'll see where the virginity lies before it's over. It's right here in the mind. Now, in cunning craftiness, they lie in wait to deceive. Your computer minds go clickety-click, clickety-click, and all the facts, clickety-click, clickety-click, clickety-click. Here it is. Now, how to fix this group, how to fix that group, how to get that group up there. You say, Brother Bill, could you do it? Good question. You bet I could have for my nature. But I'm too easy caught off a guard. Serpent's lying wait to deceive. Bible speaks of that adder lying there and causes the horse to jump and the rider to fall, right? Lying wait to deceive. Listen, I'm not throwing off anybody. I'm telling the truth. Because this is the truth. But holding the truth in love. This is the age where they don't love the truth. So they turn to the foibles and the genealogies and the vain things that men would say. And grow up not into him, because they're already in him, but unto him in all things, the whole entire word being filled in the bride, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly, they fit. I'm not talking about personality differences. I'm talking about things where God places people in the church, they exactly fit. I tried to get a bit of this cross Sunday morning. Brother Branham came with the word of God and liberated the women, but women still want ministries. What ministry do you women want anyway? Shut up! Oh, pardon, I'll take that back. Just be quiet, sweet pretty. Take your husbands and kids. I'm a little bit of restless. I see you moving around there. It's good for you. Wiggle for all I care. Don't you know you were liberated? The pressure is off. The pressure is off. The head has returned. Not the physical, but the spiritual. Men are in the same boat now. No. Fitly joined. Oh, boy, we could be hours here. This is getting too good. Man, I'm going to just quit right now. I'll go on, I'll quit meddling, so to speak, quit the preaching. Fitly joined it and compacted. This is not like a compacted tooth with pain. It doesn't say that. It's just like everything. It's just like the Solomon's temple, which was built many, many miles away. But when the bricks and the lumber and the gold and all came together, it just together dubbed it. See? Now, and by that which every joint supplies, seven church ages. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Every age has exactly what it needs, and every single person has exactly what he and she needs. How many folk are baptized with the Holy Ghost? You believe? You ought to see your hand. Good. I repeat with me. I'm going to repeat it first. I have exactly what I need. Say it. I have exactly what I need. Thank you. That's exactly right. You think God's a liar? Said right here. I can read other verses of Scripture in 2 Corinthians. He said, Paul said, who is able to this? We are. Able ministers by the Holy Ghost. See? Now, see what you're missing the point. Everybody said, well, Brother Branham, talked about this thing and that thing. And you know what happened when he talked about this thing and that thing? They got carried away like Matson Bowles. Great, big, tremendous things. And Brother Branham said, hey, Matson, you got fooled on your own vision. The great big thing came in such simplicity. Chicago was rocked and you missed it. And the simplicity is the Holy Spirit is here and you're liberated to be women the way you should be women and men to be men. Amen. So, Brother Bale, I think I'd like something different. I wonder who's got the Holy Ghost. That's right. I'm not kidding you. Brother Branham said in the seventh seal open was relaxation time. It relaxed me. You said, Brother Bate, you don't seem relaxed. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. As far as the ministry concerned, which is my life, I am relaxed. Don't worry. I know what I'm called to. I've got no problem. Had problems all the time before, but not now. Sure, I got some worries and a few things, but that's nothing. Nothing at all. That's just processes. Now, it says right here, according to the effectual working the measure of every part, maketh increase the body and the edifying itself in love. In other words, brother, sister, in every single age, there always has been exactly from the vertical through the horizontal, everything that was needed. Nothing, nothing, nothing ever missing. Now we're coming to the end time. And at the end time, to bring a bride back to virginity, we have exactly what we have need of. See? All right. There is just no way that one can be a true child of God unless he is filled with the Spirit of Christ. You can no more be someone else's child than nothing unless that person is your father. Not one can be added to and become a part of the body of Christ outside the baptism with the Holy Ghost. It simply can't work. As every human body member, such as each arm, leg, eye, heart, is a part of the body because of that specific kind of life that's in the body, so is each member a member of Christ because God's own life is in that bride. Now, the reason I got arms, legs, and feet and so on, and there's a certain life, one life that's in it. So with every single member in the body of Christ, there is one life, which is the life of God. Let's say it. I have the life of God. I have the life of God. Well, if you haven't, you better get it. You see, people get embarrassed to say these things. That's where the devil's got them. I'll show you in a little while. Don't worry. I'm leading up to my points. Just keep everything in line where I'm preaching it. See? Now, because Ephesians 5 and 30 says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Why? Because it's his life. Because it's his life. Do you realize there is no difference, absolutely none, between the life that's in us and the life that's in him now behind that throne? What do you think he's living by? Didn't he say, because I live, you shall live also? Doesn't it say that spirit that raised him is the same spirit that raises us and quickens us? Then all right, it's the same life. That's why we are his body. Let's say it. We are his flesh, we are his bones. Say it. We are his flesh, we are his bones. Good. Now we're getting there. My, we've got a little ways to go yet. What fun we're having. His life is in us, or we are not apart. For we see in 1 Corinthians 15, 37 to 39, the explanation in the natural. That which thou sowest not that body that shall be but bare grain. It may chance a wheat or some other grain, but God gives it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Whose seed are you? Say it. I am Christ's seed. I am Christ's seed. Therefore, we are Christ's body. Therefore, we are Christ's body. That's exactly right. See? Now, let's go back to the original law. We go back to Genesis 1 and 12. Now, let's stop this nonsense of being afraid to say the things of God. You say, Brother Bale, I worry about my life. You read what Paul said about Abraham. Abraham, if you talk about good works, hath for help to glory, but not before God. Oh, don't try it before God, my brother, my sister. God doesn't allow any nonsense. See? First, Genesis 1 and 12. Hopefully I got the right verse. And the earth brought forth grass and herb, yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed is in itself after his kind, and God saw it was good. In other words, you've got a law here. And Brother Branham has spoken words of original seed, set forth that law of the seed, and the seed is sperma, and sperma means life. See? All right. Now, I'm going to draw a conclusion that's perfect scripture. Now, you say, Brother Bay, we don't draw conclusions. Well, I don't mean that kind of a conclusion. I'm going to teach you further on this subject from scripture. All right. We're going to see Corinthians, the first Corinthians 12. Then we're going to see 15. Now keep everything in mind what I'm dealing with. if you please. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And in 27, now are you the body of Christ and members in particular. Every one of you that's born again is a particular member. And since the woman typifies the bride, and women are what Brother Brown talked about most today, through that loony guy running around the city there telling everybody that he's a father of nation. Now, he's such a swell fellow, but he's really such a nice guy, prince of a guy, but he is nuttier than a fruitcake. He keeps telling people he is what he ain't. But he was. You know why? Because God said so. When God said to Martha, do you believe I'm the resurrection? And she said, yea, Lord, he was. You got to give that to God. Remember, I told you the other day, when Brother Branham was talking about those squirrels and things, and Sister Wright, she said, Brother Branham, well, Sister Mosher, she said, Hattie Mosher, she said, Brother Branham, that ain't nothing but the truth. He just word. And he said, say what you want, you've got it. Say what you want. Do you want to be assured of part of him? Say it. Confess it. I don't care what your experience is. Remember, look, I've got to read this again to you because how many believers we got here? My God, have pity. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath a lot to glory of, but don't try it before God. For what does the Scripture say? Oh, well, who cares what the Scripture says after all? I know you. You egotistical sloth. I'm talking to Lee Vail. See, I've been over this. 42 years it cost me. Not anymore. I am his righteousness. I am joined to him. I am bride. I'm it. Sorry about you folk. You want to come along? I'll be glad to have you. Just love to have you. But you got to wake up yourself. I've been through 42 years of hell. Forget it. I'm still as mean as ever, but it's his responsibility. I don't got no sweetness. It's his. You say, show it. I don't worry about it. Let him show it. What saith the Scripture? What does it say anyway? Abraham believed God and it was counted him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. So let's quit working except our jaws for the grace of God. Hebrews 13, 6, 13 to 20 I read, and with it Hebrews 10, 21 to 23, and I read it a while back for you so you understand where we're going in there. Having an high priest over the house of God, we draw near with a heart and true assurance of faith. Why? Because it was his word has proven to us. We've been sprinkled no more of the evil conscience. In other words, every thought and submission to his, all the mind pulled down. See, I'll say what God said. God says, so I'm an ambassador. I'm righteous. I'm this. I'm that. I'm bride. I'm a respected member. I'm one with those. Amen. That's it. And that's it. Because he said so. And to confess means to say the same thing together. And he's the high priest. And the high priest is the boss. He sets the rules. He sets the orders. He's the one that went ahead and cleared the way. You just follow right behind, see? Let us hold fast the confession of our faith. Now, once more, Hebrews 6 and 20. Now, listen. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. All right? The high priest has entered. Now we go back to John 17 to 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. He's already there, and we're going to be there too. Yep. Oh, brothers, listen, don't think, I'm not fooling you. I'm not trying to give you some hocus pocus here. I'm going to prove it to you. God have pity. Listen. Through faith, and they talk about Sarah and Abraham and Jacob. Then it says in verse 12 of Hebrews 7, therefore sprang even of him, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things, they that say such things. Well, I don't know if he really meant it. You know, the word always sounds so good, but you know, we have a habit of just not being able to work it just right. And maybe God doesn't want everybody to have something. So, yeah, I don't know. And it says in, oh, come on. It says here, they saw them, they were persuaded, they embraced them, and they confessed them. For they that say such things declare plainly they're seeking a country, New Jerusalem. Now listen, and truly, if they had been mindful, no sir, and truly if they had kept in mind and confessed wrong, they had all the opportunity to go on right back. And that's why this bunch of bride we look upon today is so green and so hayseedy, because they won't say what the prophet said, they won't say what the word of God said, they'll argue doctrine and fuss about this and fuss about the other, instead of what he said about them concerning Jesus Christ. Now let's stop all the nonsense, because it's just nonsense. These people weren't haranguing and fussing and fighting and everything under the book and wondering, what did Brother Branham say? Well, he said this, but I got a little saying he also said. So don't try to catch me on Brother Branham said, because he also said. See? Listen, it said right here that they died in faith, but before they died, or in other words, before the promise even of the resurrection comes, before even the people walked to the tree of life and go into rapture, not even having died, it said that they got to see the promises, which is the revelation. They got to be persuaded. Like when Jesus said to the folk, when they turned their back, because he said that they'd eat my flesh and drink my blood, and he also told them that I and my Father are one, and they left him. And he said, you, will you go also? And they said, well, no, we ain't going. Well, he said, why not? Well, they said, we've been there. They ain't know he's going back yet. You know, some people don't believe that they want to run back right now. They come on. This appalls me. This appalls me. Latter rainers amongst us, trying to go back with their tongues and their interpretation and all that stuff. Come on back by Sunday. We'll get into the Word of God and tell you why Brother Brand said certain things. I got no problem. I didn't say he did. He said it right in the Word, too. Trying to conjure things up. And women running things. Yeah, come on, women with their tongues and all these things. I'm not going to name churches. My God in heaven, you've got enough brains to know what I'm talking about. You're not dead. You know what goes around the country. People still prophesying even marriages and things. Oh, phew. Couldn't tell them all these secrets, should I, Brother Neil? Let them be happy the way they are. They don't even know it. I'm going to warn you, don't let it come around here. Go on. He said, go on back. He said, whoa, we've been there. Oh, I've been there, brother, sister. Forget it. Forget it. Forget it. And I'm not talking now about something I'm ashamed of and something was dirty. I have had a ministry, the prophet of God himself said, Lee, he said, you had tremendous amount of correct discernment, but you did make some mistakes. And he said, a true gift of God does not make mistakes. And he told me flat that anybody that discerned in public was liable to be a false anointed. Because that was his ministry. He said, cut it out. He was already going down the hill. The closer I got the word, he just went out the window. Go on back. Go on back. I've got a good buddy in the high. You ought to have him around as a pastor. Not that Brother Neil isn't Johnny on the spot. But if I tell you about him, you see, I don't think Brother Gunther's had this problem. But this one guy was always listening to somebody, just running back to Pentecost. So one day Bill said, look, fella, I've gone and got you for the third time. Our church is launched up, picked up for the third time. One more time, you lie there, we're finished. As far as I know, you've been walking straight ever since. You go on back. So we've been there. Well, you could look down the road. They said, we got a persuasion that thou art the Christ, and you're the one with the Word. That's where I stand. Look, I don't know what's ahead, and I really don't care too much. Because what I got now is it. Then I worry about it. Now listen, these are goody-goody gumdrops. For they that say such things declare that they seek a city. And it said, truly, if they'd kept in mind, bringing to captivity, see the thoughts, they would have gone back. In other words, the opportunity is always there to deny what God said and confess different. And when you do, you're back. Slidden. Cold. Well, lukewarm. Put it that way. Yep. Now, I read John 17:24, did I? Well, we'll go back to John 17:20. I might just stay with my notes. And I'm going to quit after this because it would take another hour, I imagine. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. That's a new Jerusalem. We're going to it. And they that confess those things and stay with it, they will be there because God loved them, the foundation of the world. Brother, sister, let me tell you something. Our confession is the most important thing in the world, for by your words you're justified and by your words you're condemned. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in thy heart that God therein did, thou shalt be saved. The confession is what we do because he's the high priest of it. Now listen. Once Hebrews 6:20, with John 17:24 read it to you. There. All of us behind the veil. That's where he is. And in the presence of the Shekinah glory, we come to 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak by our words. We place ourselves, brother, sister. There you are. You see now why I belabor the point? He therefore who is of such character that in the realization of and the testimony to his oneness to me, he said, I'll bring that right back. And remember, brother, sister, listen, the former rain comes with the latter rain already here. The latter rain fell in 1906. The former rain came under Brother Branham's ministry. They are uniting at this time. And this is that hour where the revelation is uniting with the dynamism of Almighty God. The bride says, I and my Father are one. Because the shuck has got to pull away, and the shuck will not pull until God dynamizes in human flesh, I and my Father are one. Because that's what it took back there. Now, so it is not at all difficult to see the great work of the Holy Spirit on the two levels. In the vertical as from God himself to the individual, and then the horizontal of God in the individual, reaching out to other individuals, both in the bride and outside the bride. See? But we must confess at this point, I am part of him, and we are part of each other. There is a bride, and by the grace of God, we hope, which is earnest expectation, with thoughts of grace, I am a part of it, of her. See? Now, give me a few more minutes, because I've got something important I want to bring up to your attention. In our original message of this Sunday evening, which really was a continuation of the Sunday morning, we saw that the Holy Spirit, baptism with the Holy Ghost, assured us as ours personally, 100% guaranteed that everything that Jesus Christ accomplished on Calvary was ours and sealed into us. We saw that in Hebrews. We saw sonship and eternal security. We saw us a part of the first resurrection. We saw ourselves in the rapture. We saw ourselves in the millennium. We saw ourselves in the white throne as judging with Christ. We saw ourselves in New Jerusalem. In short, we saw ourselves as Ephesians 1:3-12. And Romans 8:32. I'm going through this rapidly because we went through it the other day. And it does not end there by no stretch of the imagination. And I'm going to cover one more point and we're going to call it quits because I can't take all the rest. The next thing I want to deal upon is this. When the Holy Spirit came, he became your personal teacher of the truth as it is in Christ. We go to John 16. I'm doing this for a purpose, but then I'm going to finish, so I'll just... Maybe tomorrow night we can kind of double-check again and do something else. I hope we get into the Spirit and eternal life. But John 16:12-15, let's look at it. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you haven't got what it takes. That's exactly what it says. And no man has what it takes of himself to ever hear from God. No, he has to be foreknown, elected, and predestinated, and full of the Holy Ghost. How be it? When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. That's when you got what's necessary. For he shall not speak of himself. Whatever he shall hear, that he'll speak. and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. He'll receive a mind and show it unto you. All things the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, he'll take a mind and show it unto you. Jesus personally guaranteeing by the Holy Ghost that every single thing that God was in him and he has of God is ours. Shown to us. And why does he show us? We're heirs with him. See, this is not some little game he's playing. John 14:26. But the Comforter says, the Holy Ghost and the Father send in my name. He'll teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. 1 John, the same great apostle of love, in the second chapter, verse 27, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and need not any man teach you, because no man can teach you. He can teach you, as it were, by rote. Or he can explain certain things that you can get mechanically. But we're talking now about teaching in the sense of revelation. Nobody can give it to you. Nobody can give it to me. Not even a prophet. Only the Holy Spirit. You see? Now, the Holy Spirit and the prophet can bring us the true revelation. That's mechanical. For us to grasp the reality and the truth of what he's saying is also in our minds a mechanical. But when the Holy Ghost anoints it, it becomes alive in us, and we become that part of the Word of God in our flesh, which is living Word of God manifested like a prophet was, then we're getting there. You see, the reality's there. Now, need not any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things and is truth and no lie. Notice again. Let every word of God be true and every word of man a lie. Now, if God has said certain things about us, then that is true. And the judge standing there, and remember, Brother Branham's great ministry was discernment, which means judging between. See? even his no line, even as it is taught you, you shall abide in him. Now, he lets you know what the evidence of the Holy Ghost is right here. Whether you are in him or not, absolutely depends on your true revelation of the word of that hour, which was truly revealed in the mechanical form, yet vindicated in our day. Now, there's nobody can deny the vindication of the mechanical, that is, as Brother Branham spoke it. And that word was dynamized because it came right to pass. God backed it right up. Now, let that word get in the individual. Brother Branham said, all that word needs that I gave you, that word dropped in you, is fully fertilized, fully alive. It just needs the proper soil, and we are God's husbandry. He said, the sun and the rain will bring it forth. And Christ is that sun and rain. Now, the reason is John 6:63. Now, we know what that says there. It's a spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are light. Notice the identification. Now, begin in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So therefore, if the Holy Spirit teaches us faithfully concerning God, we are witnessing, seeing the very face of God, because the Son reveals it. See? Now, I won't read you in 1 Corinthians 2:9-15, but you know what it says there, that the Spirit of God is given to us, that we might know the things of Almighty God. I just better get back there a little bit. I might want to see one verse. Now, and then it tells you here, as it goes on, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolish to him, neither can he know the Spirit to discern. Then it says, But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judging no man. Now, here's something we've never learned as Spirit-filled people amongst us. That whatever we believe of this message, we keep to ourselves. And whatever the other fellow believes, he keeps to himself. You get what I said? I'll prove it to you. He that is spiritual, full of the Holy Ghost, judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man, because God is teaching him. You say, Brother Vail, you don't agree, Brother so-and-so. Then let Brother Vail and Brother so-and-so keep their mouths shut as concerning an argument. Let them both preach what they believe, and let God finish it off. I'm a little tired of people coming behind me and trying to correct me. I don't come behind anybody and correct anybody. There's nobody correcting anybody. So Holy Ghost does it. I'm going to tell you flat. Now, let Brother Branham brought out some evidence of the Holy Ghost. Let us bring out the evidence of the Holy Ghost right here. How much can you and I keep our mouths shut? No, we got to proselytize. Proselytize, proselytize, proselytize. If that's not the lowest form of I don't know what, it's pilfering, it's stealing, it's chicken stealing, turkey stealing, sheep stealing, eagle stealing, whatever it is, stealing. Put your carnal feet. Come and believe it my way and you got it. Believe all the prophets said, believe it my way. You don't have to believe anything my way. I take my stand, I preach hard, but you are not obligated. What God shows me is my business and his. What he shows you is his business and yours. Because it says right here that you and I sit there under the Holy Spirit and the thing comes to us and we judge it, discerning right here. And you discern one thing, I discern another. And nobody can judge each other because the foundation of God standeth sure having this seal. The Lord knoweth them which are his. And there's no physical evidence as to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right or wrong. Tell me. One of the mysteries of the seventh church on the seventh seal was there is no physical evidence. Now what are you going to do? Now, you learned something tonight. I hope for the last time I'll ever have to say it here ever again. Are we satisfied this is the truth? You and I learn to shut up. And stop proselytizing and judging and this fooling around. Now, when a guy, now as I said a while ago, when a guy tells lies, as far as I'm concerned, I'm settled. You do what you want about it. All right? Matthew 16:13-17, which I read a while ago now. Going back to it again, I'm going to bring some points out here, so just bear with me. You've got a reason for this. Jesus came, Philip says, cupped the coals and said, who do men say I the Son of Man am? Now, who do men say? See, now here men get together and say, hey, I think that's so-and-so, I think that's so-and-so, I think that's so-and-so. What does the Holy Ghost say? See? Now, but who do you say? He said, well, you throw yours in. And he said, well, I say you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he answered right back and said, hey, he said, flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven, the Holy Spirit revealing. See? Only God can do that for us. Now, Matthew 11, 25-27. At that time, Jesus answered, O Father, Lord of heaven, because thou hast hid these things in wise and prudent, revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, seem good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me and my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. You and I can argue to black and green and blue in our face. There is one God, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus, per se, was a man. He was not God until God indwelt him. Then when God left him, he was a man again, and God raised him dead. And they'll look at you and say, now listen, don't tell me that. There are three gods in one. No use arguing. If the Holy Spirit does not reveal it, you're not going to get anywhere. See, the Holy Spirit must do the revealing, and he does the revealing. Now let's go to John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. And who's going to talk about him? The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. And that's who is the very heart of God. He hath declared him, and the word is stated plainly in words, exegeted. You say, well, they saw him. No, they did not. No, sir, when he said, he that has seen the Father has seen me, has seen the Father, he was not talking the physical. He was talking of the works that were done. It was the physical body. Because he said, I can't even quote it. Give me back to John 15:24 and I'll quote it for you and reread it for you. Too bad to have a mind that goes blank. All right, if I had not done among the works that none of the man did, they had not sinned, but now they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. What they saw was the works. That was God, as God shows himself through nature. But now, when the Holy Ghost comes, it is the Holy Spirit teaching through the Word revealed that reveals God. See? God himself revealed, the Holy Spirit doing it. Now with that, we go to John 16:13-14. How be when he, the Spirit of truth, has come to guide you in all truth? You not speak myself. Whatever he shall hear, that he speak. He'll show you things to come. He shall glorify me. He'll receive a mind and show it unto you. That's exactly what the Bible says. Now, note, especially in the last day. Here's what I'm leading up to for this portion of the message. In the last day, if we go to Revelation 3, 19 to 21. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man open the door, I will come to him and sup with him and he with me. Now let's look at this thing here. To the last church age, he's got a message. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I stop in their tracks and I train them. Be zealous, therefore, even repent. Now let's get this straight once and for all with no back talk from anybody. The word repent means change the mind. Don't tell me it means to feel sorry for sin, because the Bible said, godly sorrow worketh repentance. Godly sorrow is not repentance. Right? All right, let's not have any hogwash and back talk and foolishness. I want to tell you why. Repentance has to do with the mind. Right? Thank you. Your amens are all right. You don't even know why you're saying, except you've got faith in me and I'm approving. I want to ask you, what part of the body was Brother Branham at the end time? What goes up and looks down? The eagle, right? What did he say the last moving part of the body is? Eye. And what is above the eye? Then what is the last age? Mind age, right? He said so. The zeal of this age is to bring the mind under the Word of God by the Holy Ghost. We need to repent every day 1,000 times. Not for our physical fornication, but for our spiritual fornications. Not for our physical stealing, but our spiritual stealing from the Word of God. See? Not for eating unclean flesh and unclean things, but mentally eating them. Now, Brother Branham categorically said that the right mental attitude to any promise would bring you to pass. I'm going to go further than what Brother Branham did. I'm taking the same principle Brother Branham took, and I'm going to go to Romans, the 12th chapter, and I'm going to read it for you. Beginning at verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable sacrifice. And don't you be fashioned to this world. And remember, he spoke on the fashions of Hollywood. But be you transformed. That speaks of metamorphosis, change from the caterpillar to the butterfly, to walk over to the tree of life and be completely changed by the renewing of your mind. The metamorphosis of the caterpillar Christian to the butterfly Christian is by saying what God said and forcing your mind to take it and your lips to say it. Brother Brown and Lima quoted a verse I've used for years and years on my series in faith. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his lips, and with the increase of his mouth shall he be fed. It comes out here, it goes in here. And you say, that's great. And it comes out here, and it goes in here, and it comes up bigger. You say, that's great. And it comes out here, why? Because it came from here. Yep. We've got tongues to talk. But the tongue that talks right is over here in the book of Malachi. Let's read it. Let's find out what God says about his bride. Come on. Third chapter, verse 16. And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Didn't speak to God. Now, they weren't up there praying up a storm, though that's fine. There's a special kind of language that these people had that God liked. And the Lord hearkened. And he said, hey, listen to what's going on down there. My, like that. So I'm going to write a book of remembrance about those people that talk that way. Because they fear the Lord. And they think upon his name. He said, they're mine. Oh, he just chuckled. He said, look at those kids of mine. He said, man, he said, they got anything beat. That's why he chuckled over Job. He said, hey, Satan. He said, come here, you rascal. Yeah, yes, I hear you've been running around the earth these days looking things over. Yeah, I've been looking things over. He said, hey, have you noticed my servant Job? Oh, I noticed him, so what?
Right now he's looking down and say, hey, Satan, you notice those people there? They're talking the way I'm talking. Notice those folk there in green thong? They're my kind of people. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I'll spare them as a man spares his own son. And the day of the jewel making, brother, sister, is the day of Mount Zion, the rapture, and after that comes what? The great tribulation. So what is there? Who's he sparing and discerning between? What I read in Revelation 22, when the seals are opened, and the people begin giving back to God. As Brother Branham said, the bride gives back to the husband what he provides. And then, you see, he blesses it. And that's what we are doing, giving back to him. And God said, he said, are they giving back to me what my prophet said, done what I told him? And the people are all talking, giving back to God, he said. And then the Spirit of God can fall on it. And you watch them. They're going to be changed right on this earth without missing one heartbeat, one step, one wink of the eye. They're going to go right to the tree of life, which is right here already, because it's got to come back where it was. That we can eat and be changed and be taken away. And a man's belly, that's the innermost being, that life be satisfied with the fruit of his lips. You say, Brother Bill, I've been a Christian unsatisfied a long time. Just start saying what I've been talking about tonight. Start giving back to God and witness the world, I am one with the Father. And don't be ashamed to say, and my Father is like his Father was. He's a very special kind of a Father, to which he isn't that kind of a Father to anybody else. Sure, he's the Father out here by reason of creation, but by reason of recreation, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, sealing us in, bringing us to the pre-feast, you know, of the wedding supper, kind of pre-feast. See? And he said, they talk a different kind of language. They talk about one God. They talk about Elijah having come. They talk about a bride and a bride tree. They talk about serpent seed. They talk about being one. You see, that's when Jesus gets very happy. He gets so excited, he almost got to get off the throne. He said, just about over now. He said, because they're all saying what I told them to say, that they're one. They've got that character Brother Branham talked about. Hey, look, as far as I'm concerned, I could tell you this, brother, sister, wouldn't be one bit of good. But when it's the Word of God is living, breathing. It's God himself. It's got to come to pass. The Lord bless you. I'm not going to continue anymore. That's enough for tonight. But take it with you. And don't leave it by the wayside, brother, sister. I'm going to tell you one thing, tell you the truth. If I have told you a lie and you still believe it and practice it, you will be a million times better off than you are right now. So you can't lose from winning. But I haven't told you lies. Because the prophet said, I don't call you church anymore. I don't call you saint. I call you bride. You know something? God said, before Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, that fellow Abraham, he said, I just gotta talk to him, tell him my secrets. And Jesus said, I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friends, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But he said, the friends do. He said, you are my friends. You know something? I've used that scripture for years in my preaching, but this is the time. It's real to me now. I want to ask you a question. Let's be honest. See, I like to let my hair down, what I've got of it. A lot of you folk don't have too much either. Let your hair down with me. It'd be a ball. Let's get real chummy. Do we believe that we're one with each other? I'm a very funny person. You know it, the way I preach. I don't let people get near. I laugh and I kid even the pulpit because I don't want you to get near to me. But that's got to go. Yeah. Well, I don't expect you to take into my heart and tell you everything. Look, it wouldn't matter. I could tell you. What's the difference? It's going to shut up on the housetop. And it's not that bad. I can't find somebody else that's worse. And it's not that good. I couldn't find somebody else a million times better. But look, I want to ask you a question. Do you feel a little more like the fact now that you are one with him? Do you feel a little more that you're not only willing, but you're going to believe and exert your faith toward the end that you are one with your brethren? That the argument's over, it's settled as far as God's concerned. And as long as someone believes this message and doesn't, you know, live in sin and all, or even that could happen, He has to be corrected and brought back. What I'm trying to say here, look, it's about time that whether we believe that Brother Branham is Revelation 19, which I can't believe that he is. I'm sorry. Brother Branham himself said that was Jesus Christ. Or this or that, what's amongst us. Can we just begin to see this is the hour to confess, I am one, not of them, but I am one with them. And we're all one with the Father. I don't know about you, but I believe with all my heart, brother, sister, that we're in that hour now, and it's happening. I don't understand time. I told you before that every time I've seen time through the eyes of God, it throws me plumb for a loop. I can never reconcile it to mine, because it seems like it's going to be tomorrow, and it could be years, when I get a little revelation of what is going on. It happened many years ago. My, it took 35 years that I thought it happened tomorrow morning to come to pass. What happened a year ago may take 3 years to come to pass, 4 years. I don't know. I don't know. But I believe with all my heart, it's not just we're nearer than when we first believed and Brother Branham left us, but it's a whole lot nearer. See? I believe that we're just so close to the breaking point where the squeeze has got to come on down. And he said, when that squeeze comes, you watch that third pull. In other words, that fully revealed word in that bride begin to move right in. I want to be ready, and I believe he showed me how to do it. Showed us how by the word, begin to confess what he said. Take him at his word tonight. Look, quit looking at yourself. Maybe by the grace of God, I get time to preach the sermon looking. I don't know. I can't say. I don't know where I'll be the next after this week. I'm going to be at Brother Pete's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, as far as I know. Where I go from there, I don't know. I'm just open for the Lord to lead. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know one thing, brother, sister. There's a time to take one last look. Remember what God said to Lot and his wife and daughters? Don't turn back. Take one last look and go. I preached that sermon 1 year ago, last September. I believe I was supposed to take that last look then. I waited a year. I don't believe we're to keep looking back. Take that one look and go on. Well, I talk all night because I'm wound up. Let's go. Merciful God, gracious Heavenly Father, God of the universe, but God of each life tonight, that's what we're interested in. God of the little one, God of the young one, God of the older one, God of the middle one. God of each one of us, and God of all of us as a bride. We've lost our identity, Lord, as individuals. We've lost our identity as a group. For now, Lord, we are those for whom you died, sons of Almighty God, risen in the power of your resurrection from sin, the world, and the devil, to live in a new body corporately with each other, where we are not our own, but we are of each other, in honor preferring each other, looking for each other's good. When one rejoicing, all rejoice. When one is suffering, all is suffering. Hallelujah. We're acknowledging it tonight, Lord. Amen. I don't care, Lord, what the world sees, and I don't care what we see. I'm ready for the one last look, Lord. The one last look, leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, going to the hill country, going to New Jerusalem. Bless your people tonight, Lord. Our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed. Anyone here hasn't received the Holy Ghost yet, just, I can't do it, I can't give it to you, but you say, pray for me, that's all. Anywhere. That's what counts, brother, sister. You're not sealed in. Amen. If you're not sealed in, you missed it all. And the tragic thing is this. He said, I am more willing to give the Holy Ghost to you than you are even willing to give good gifts. There's not one of us here who'd like to do something nice for somebody. Would you like to do something nice for somebody? Well, God wants to do something far better for you. If there's anybody here tonight, said Brother Vail, I'd like to do something nice for somebody, and you haven't received the Holy Ghost, you raise your hand to God tonight. He'll give you the Holy Ghost, because he said, I'm more willing than you are. Many more times. Thank you. Anybody else? That's good. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Listen, thank you. All over the place. That's good. Listen, just, I told you the truth. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? Just say, thank you, Jesus, for filling me now. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Might be time for an infilling, a refilling. Thank you, Lord. I believe it. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory be to God. Lord, I believe tonight like a mighty Niagara, O God. A mighty Niagara, Lord God in heaven. Flowing over our souls and our hearts and our minds tonight, O God. Merciful God in heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. Now our God and there's none beside you, Lord. Merciful God, let down every barrier. Cast it every foe. Even the blood of Jesus Christ. By the sealing of the Holy Ghost. And a refreshing and an infilling again, Lord. A mighty refilling of the Holy Ghost, Lord God, tonight. Every one of us, Lord Jesus Christ, as I confess my oneness with you, Lord, to be filled again and again, Lord. If it's true that you're more willing to give than I have you. And, oh God, open my heart and my mind tonight. Give me, Lord Jesus, a mighty refilling of the Holy Ghost of Almighty God. I confess myself and everything about my heart here. God in heaven, I repent. Lord Jesus, I change my heart. Lord God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise him, 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 praise him